Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, an interview with Frederica Matthews Green. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Our next guest has regaled us with tales of her early feminism. She's told us about her conversion to Jesus, her journey into Orthodoxy, and a whole lot more along the way. In her newest book, she invites us to tour an Orthodox church and view the icons, which for many evangelicals are something of a stumbling block, sometimes even an offense. And as always, there's more to the story than most of us know, and she's more than willing to tell us the rest of the story. We welcome Frederica Matthews Green. Her newest book is The Open Door, published by Paraclete Press. And Frederica, as always, it's great to have you back with us.
Hi, Dick. Yes, it's always good to be with you.
Real quickly, for people that haven't heard your story, many of our listeners have, but not all, your conversion into the faith, as I recall, happened in Dublin, Ireland, after a kind of a journey through agnosticism, Eastern religion, and feminism.
Yeah, that's right. I always say if, you know, I had a suitcase and my soul was a suitcase, it would have all those travel stickers all over it, showing all the places I'd been. Just briefly, I was raised in a nominal Roman Catholic home, not any really strong faith there. And as a teenager and a college student, high school student, I totally cast away the Christian faith, just believed it was stupid and only stupid people could believe it, and actually became an anti-Christian, you know, more than just...
Really? So you were antagonistic?
Right, right. Very antagonistic, not just neutral on the topic. And so I was traveling around after I graduated college, traveling around Europe, hitchhiking, doing the tourist thing, and I went into a church in Dublin. At that point, I was calling myself a Hindu. But even if you're a Hindu, you've got to look into churches when you're in Europe. And I was looking at a statue of Jesus. And I can't explain it. I just was looking at the statue, and the next minute I knew I was kneeling down.
Wow.
And I could hear an interior voice.
Hmm.
You know, not with my ears, but I could, like, hear a voice inside speaking to me and saying, I am your life.
Wow.
I am the foundation of everything in your life. And it was a big surprise, Dick.
Oh,
I would
man.
Say that was a that really, you know, knocked my block off, because I thought I had the whole world figured out.
Yeah.
I thought all religions are equal, and it's just this delightful garden of spiritual flowers you just stroll through, and
yeah,
probably Jesus was just this mythological figure people made up. And
yeah.
But it was like a brick to the head. It was the most bracingly real experience I've ever had. In comparison, the rest of life seems like a dream. It was a very, unsettling would be an understatement. And it took me about a week. I was on my honeymoon. I couldn't even talk about it to my husband for a week.
Where was your husband theologically?
he was on his own journey. When I met him, he was an atheist, which was fine with me. He wasn't a spiritual seeker like I was.
Yeah.
I was exploring. He was just, there isn't any God. I don't care. You know, let's go see a movie. He just wasn't interested. But he was taking classes from his favorite professor, a philosophy professor. And the very last class he had to take from this guy was philosophy of religion.
Yeah.
And the first day of class, the guy said, we are going to deal with original documents. So next week, come in and be prepared to discuss a gospel. Read any gospel, doesn't matter which
wow.
one. So he found a Bible somewhere, and he flipped through. He found out there were four gospels. And quickly, you know, looked at the page numbers and figured out that Mark was the shortest. So he started reading Mark, and I still remember how distressing it was to me, because as he read it, he began to change.
Wow.
And he started saying, there's something about this guy, Jesus. There's something about him. He has authority. He speaks with authority. And he said, if Jesus says that there's a God, I know there has to be one.
Really?
Yeah. So he was not ready to become a Christian at that point, but, you know, the fish hook was in.
Yeah.
And like with me, after this experience in the church,
yeah,
the hook was in, but we both were, like, mentally still really liberal.
Yeah, so
and
you
took us a while to come all the way around.
Wow, so your experience was kind of preceded by his kind of intellectual ascent to the fact that there is a God and that Jesus, there is something about this Jesus. So when you had your Dublin experience, it wasn't like totally a foreign concept to him, but you were both kind of now kind of scared that the comfort zones are being shattered.
Yeah. It was a different kind of experience for us. That is, it was quite intellectual for my husband. It was that love of truth. It was like he heard the ring of truth and just wanted to draw near it. And for me, it was more ontological in a sense. It was like I realized something about existence, about my own existence, and a person. Well, I guess both of us encountered a person, just him through the pages of the scripture and me in this more immediate, baseball to the head kind of experience. And we just, kept creeping along side by side, one's ahead, the other's ahead.
Yeah.
It was about 6 months later that a friend of ours, and we had both started seminary at that point, really as seekers.
Yeah.
Not as believers. about 6 months later, a friend of ours said, "Now, had you ever, though, given your life to the Lord? Had you ever taken Jesus as your Lord?" And we said, "Huh?"
Yeah, what's that mean?
nobody talks that way to, liberal, educated people. And he said, "Well, actually, you can do this." And we all knelt down, and he helped, lead us through the prayer where we really committed ourselves.
Yeah, okay. Now, how long was it from that time to your journey into Orthodoxy?
Oh, let's see. That was 1974. We became Orthodox in 1993.
Okay, so
about 20 years.
A lot happened between 1974 and 1993, and as I recall, it was your husband that really moved towards Orthodoxy first.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that was compelling about Orthodoxy that led him first and then you to move in that direction? And for people that don't know what we're talking about when we talk about Orthodoxy, what exactly did you enter?
Sure. I guess I should define that term first. We're talking about the Eastern Orthodox Church, which, in your neighborhood might be Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, Romanian, Albanian, Serbian. There's just all different kinds, about a dozen different kinds of Orthodox in America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's really a historical anomaly. We should have one church. We should have an American Orthodox church because we're Americans now. But it's just a historical process of getting all those little divisions taken down and having everything in English and making it one church, just a matter of time. So we're working on that process. So this Eastern Orthodox Church is the church that we entered in January 93. It's our 10th anniversary.
Wow.
And I guess kind of like a rocket ship. You have the thing that boosts you out, and then you have the next force that pulls you in. And the out stage was the painful stage, because my husband, during that period, had been an Episcopal priest.
Okay.
And we began very happy, really very content, in the renewal wing of the Episcopal Church. But a little bit more than 10 years ago, kind of history repeats itself, there was a general convention, a national convention of the Episcopal Church. And at that time, already, there were some warning signs. There were bishops who were denying the resurrection, denying the creed. And there was a particular resolution at this convention 10 years ago. The resolution was clergy should abstain from sex outside of marriage.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think this would come up for a vote, but it did, and the resolution was defeated.
Well, and I'll tell you what, we'll pick up there when we come back. Join us for the continuation of our interview with Frederica Matthews Green. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.